Henry Paul of the Outlaws is on the phone with me for Rockstar Interviews. How's it going? Everything good?
Everything's good. I'm enjoying a day at home. I had a list of calls to make this morning, so I don't have to run out the door and, you know, do battle with the real world. I can sit at home, talk to you.
Yeah, as staying home seems to be the way of the world right now. Let's talk about the new album, because you guys have one. I've been spending time with it. It's called Dixie Highway. With this album, the first thing that came to my mind when I was listening, just like a big blinking neon sign on my brain, and it said this. It said, "Cats don't lay down licks like this anymore."
You know, part of the hallmark of our generation is musicianship in popular music. Before the 60s, 70s, you know, there were the 50s, and there were, you know, the schmaltzier early 60s, and then there was, you know, the disco thing kind of popped up alongside of what we were doing, and then there's always people that love music more than others, and there's people that don't care about music that much, and for them maybe the top 40 is all they really need or want.
Mm-hmm.
But for people that love music, that's specifically who we made this record for, because it's a very intricate, very difficult musical personality to write, arrange, and record.
It is.
And so it has a very, my impression of the album was somewhat similar to yours, but it also sort of felt very
fresh, new.
Yes.
It did. It did to me, too. That was my take.
Right. It goes back to the band's beginnings, and it also kind of brings you right up to today in the same musical moment. So, you know, we're proud of it. I mean,
you should be.
Critics have been very good to us with it, and we're enjoying the a little bit of the buzz about it.
Yeah, the Florida Guitar Army lives. You sing and you play one of the guitars. Compare what you guys are doing now, and I think you kind of did just a minute ago when you mentioned top 40 and whatnot, but this new country phenomenon that is just sort of sweeping the world, you guys don't have the fake twang. You guys don't do vocal tricks. You sing Southern Rock Will Never Die, which is the title of the first song on the album. I just want you to tell us about that and how much you guys have a brotherhood, you guys with the Allmans and Skynyrd and Molly Hatchet and all that.
Well, I mean, the idea that you could be a share a camaraderie and a friendship and a shared pride in a musical presentation with your contemporaries that you share a bill with was novel in and of itself. I think if you ever go back to the old rock shows from the late 50s and you see, it used to be that they would have like a cavalcade of stars.
Sure they would, right.
They would have 10 or 15 recording artists, and each one would come out and do two or three songs, and they'd hustle them off the stage and bring someone else out. And I was always taken by that because it seemed as though the performers shared a very real bond.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of like Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper and Richie Valens. And so the Southern Rock thing was very much camaraderie because we were all sort of waging war against the world in a career sense of the word. We all came from Jacksonville and Nashville and Tampa, and you know, it was Spartanburg, and it was kind of a cultural a point to the musical personality that made it appealing to people outside that culture. I remember going up north and kids coming to the show with cowboy hats on and bottles of, you know, Jack Daniel's whiskey and cowboy boots. And they, you know, it's almost like getting in character for the music. And it was more than just a song. Let's make that point.
Well, the album song title is Dixie Highway, which is another great song on it. And the actual Dixie Highway, its northern point, when it still existed, was Chicago. And you chose the name of the song and the name of the album deliberately.
Yes. Well, I mean, the Dixie Highway became Highway 41, and I don't know where the intersection came, but At one point further south, it became U.S. Highway 1, but it was a it was the distance, the shortest distance between Miami and Chicago. And everybody from the Northeast that wanted to come to Florida and go to the beach or take a vacation, you know, or move, or it was always done on that road. And growing up in Tampa, we lived right on Highway 41, and I can't tell you how many times I drove by road signs that said the Dixie Highway, and in the back of my mind as a songwriter, I thought, well, that's an interesting title.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of figured out that it was more or less a metaphor for mine and the band's career, and if you listen to the lyric, it's sort of a life story. I mean, the road that runs before us is twisted and it turns. With miles of open highway and bridges that we burned. And, you know, it's just us going out there and being who we were and having our fun and paying the price. And at the end of the song, it says, the road is unforgiving, but we're on it till the end because we believe that our salvation is just around the bend.
Yeah, now.
And that's the optimistic view we take of our career. You know, we're still swinging for the fences, still putting a great show on, still writing and recording great music. And it doesn't really matter to us who's in style or what's going on in the rest of the world. We're doing what we do.
Well, we want to talk about one of the original, I believe he's an original member, who you call Dixie Highway his curtain call, and that being a Chicago guy by the name of Frank O'Keefe. Tell me about him.
Yes.
Tell me about him. He sounds like an interesting cat.
Well, he was a very soulful guy, and he was a very Chicago boy. You know, he was very much Chicago boy. He had an Irish dad and an Italian mom. He was very...
That's Chicago right there.
Yeah, his dad opened a restaurant in Clearwater called O'Keefe's. They had a great beef dip. It was very culturally sort of first-generation transplant to Florida, and he was an exceptionally gifted musician. He was, quite honestly, a great guitar player.
Uh-huh.
He wound up playing bass in the band by default. He was a really good songwriter, really good singer. And again, with Huey and myself, and to a degree, Billy, you know, he was... sort of, that was a competitive job description, and Frank sort of got swept under the rug a little bit as a musical personality in the band, and to take that a step further, he left the group first very early, and so, you know, it was kind of like the forgotten member of the band that I felt like needed to be dusted off and put back up on the stage and let people know who he was and appreciate what he did.
Yeah.
And so we cut that song of his, Windy City's Blue.
Right. I was just going to get to that. By the way, it is an Italian beef sandwich. yes.
Right.
We got to have the hot peppers, by the way, too. The Windy City's Blue, I was going to bring that up because I love that song. It's the second to last one on the disc. It was written by O'Keefe, Frank O'Keefe, a long time ago.
Oh, yes. And so, you know, I mean, as a tribute to Frank, we recorded his song. And we borrowed from the original demo we cut back in 1973, and then we brought it sort of into full arrangement correctness as a band. Steve Grisham sang it, and his voice is remarkably similar to Frank's, and obviously has a very Allman Brothers Band character to it.
It does.
But that's who we were influenced by. That was the band that turned everybody, myself included, and Charlie Daniels and Marshall. That was the band that turned us all on and opened the door for us. So it's just a very appropriate and really, I think, heartfelt tip of the hat to Frank. And
it really is great.
And, you know, it makes me feel good to be able to do that.
And then the album closes with a song called Making Memories, where you pay tribute to the Allmans, the Chicago connection, by the way. Barry Oakley was the other bass player who's from up here. But, man, you guys just paying tribute to the others. Making Memories is a great way to close the album. I believe we have 11 songs on it.
Yes.
Now, you know, because there are so few multi-guitar attack bands that are out there in the true Southern rock way, this This album should be, you know, I think it should be listened by to a lot of people. I'm real thrilled to turn people on to the album Dixie Highway because, you know, like we said earlier, it's got fresh licks that sound timeless, and it's something you're going to find yourself listening to over and over again. And I'm excited to get a lot of people out there checking out the new Outlaws album. And now I guess my final question to you, Henry Paul, would be, when will you be in Chicago to play it live for us?
Well, that's a good question, you know, and I don't know the answer because our schedule is still coming together. Chicago is not, you know, a strange market for, you know, we're not a stranger to that market.
It's not
a place that we play fairly regularly. But where our Chicago play will come this year, I have no idea as of yet. But trust me, I have great friends in Chicago, and, you know, I know they're anxious to see the band or, you know, excited to see the group. And on the heels of this new release, it's going to give the Outlaws a significant opportunity to come back and continue to do what we've done for so long.
Well, it is a great album, Henry Paul of the Outlaws. I can't tell you how many times I get, you know, Green Grass and High Tides requested on the air, and your legacy will live forever, and the new album is great, and it was indeed a pleasure to talk to you. Henry Paul of the Outlaws on The Drive's Rockstar Interviews.